Canton's Rock Station, Rock 107. We are joined in the studio tonight on Local Licks with Tim Ripper Owens. His new project's called Beyond Fear. They'll be at the Odeon this coming Thursday, their debut performance, part of the Brave Words and Bloody Knuckles six-pack weekend. We just heard a couple snippets from the demo recordings, which will eventually become the new record. Very, very cool stuff, Tim. Glad to see you got your own project going here.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, I'm just really looking forward to getting out of the demo stages and recording the real thing.
I know they're, I believe they're doing some festivities at Alice Cooperstown again this year for the Brave Words Festival. Are you going to be up there?
You know, I'm going to tell you the same thing I said to Bill Peters. No.
No?
You know, he sent me an email and asked if I did it, and the only words I sent back to him was N-O. No.
Is that because of a bad experience the last time you did it?
No, that was awesome, man. I had a blast doing that, but you know, I need to just concentrate on this one show, and I just didn't really care to do it.
Let's go back in time a couple of years to when you were out there at Alice Cooperstown doing some acoustic stuff for the Brave Words and Bloody Knuckles show, I believe in 2002. I was able to get my hands on a copy of the board tape from that show, and maybe we should spin something here. What do you think?
Well, if you must, I guess. You know,
I've played it a couple times, and people really like it. So,
Once again, this is Dennis Hayes is on bass here, and Nick from Wretch is on guitar. But it's funny because we got together for about, I think, one night at my house and went through them in my living room, you know, and quite the experience.
So you really just did basically one rehearsal for this, huh?
Yeah, I think we did like one rehearsal, and it was a lot of fun.
Let's hear the Acoustic Priest medley that you guys did.
Oh, well, okay.
Nice long set of Acoustic Priest tunes. Tim Ripper Owens, also Dennis Hayes from the project Beyond Fear. This goes back a couple years to Alice Cooperstown in downtown Cleveland. I believe it was June something or other, 2002. Great Priest medley. Another exclusive right here on Local Licks, Canton's Rock Station, Rock 107. You don't mind me playing that, do you? Do you want to do that other tune too? No, okay. I think we'll do a break here and then we'll keep it going from there. Canton's Rock Station, Rock 107. Tim Ripper Owens recorded live at Alice Cooperstown in downtown Cleveland back in 2002. A nice board recording of the acoustic set of Priest tunes that you guys did. That sounded great, man. I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, you should have been there.
I was in Cancun on my honeymoon.
I had a choice
of either going to Cooperstown or Cancun. So
excuses.
I chose Cancun.
Both times I've been to the resorts over there, I went. You know, my wife does a little part time travel agent stuff, and both times right before we left, she got pregnant. So it's,
you don't plan on going again?
No, we're not. And if not, we'll be practicing safe sex for quite a while beforehand. But the first one, my son was born. We had tried to have him for a year. At least, you know, no luck. And right before we're getting ready to go to Playa del Carmen, I think, or something like that was the name, we find out she's pregnant. And then he's born, and we tried forever, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she gets pregnant with our daughter, and we're just leaving days before, and she gets pregnant again. So I still was able to drink, though.
So at least one of you could.
Yes.
We are talking with Tim Ripper Owens. His new project is Beyond Fear. They'll be performing on stage at the Odeon this coming Thursday, part of the Brave Words and Bloody Knuckles six-pack weekend. Very, very cool stuff. We heard some demo snippets from the new CD a while back. And let's go back in time a little bit from when you were... where am I at here? Let's go back in time a little bit to the days of Winter's Bane, actually, that your first professional project, I believe, from this area.
It definitely was. I mean, I had bands before that with Brain Aside that were amazing. You know, I mean, amazing musicians and amazing songs were ahead of their time. But Winter's Bane was the first to get signed to Massacre Records, and we were flown to Germany to record The Heart of a Killer.
Was that your first trip overseas?
That was my first trip overseas, and that was the first project that went professional and realized that you don't make any money doing it. So.
How long were you playing with Winter's Bane? Two, 3 years?
Yeah, it was probably 2 or 3 years. At one time I was in U.S. Metal, Winter's Bane, and British Steel, and I was in those three bands at the same time.
And British Steel was with basically the same guys from Winter's Bane?
It started with that, yeah, because we couldn't really get any shows with Winter's Bane, and even though we were signed in Europe, we couldn't get any shows, so a lot of promoters were saying, hey, you ought to do Judas Priest, because Priest wasn't together, and you ought to do a Priest tribute, and then you could do your Winter's Bane stuff also. So
we did a live recording of Winter's Bane, Ron's Crossroads, back, I believe, in December of 92, 90-something. Too long ago to remember.
Yeah, I don't have a clue when it was.
I remember it being a great show, though. Anything you remember about that show in particular?
I don't remember nothing. I remember nothing from that show. It wasn't that I was drunk or anything, because that was a big show, so obviously it wasn't any alcohol or anything involved. But you know what I do remember is playing the in-between snippets during the Heart of a Killer story thing, and my daughter singing Jesus Loves Me in the background of one of the, the music's going, the background's going, Cohagen, and you hear, Jesus Loves Me, and she's just a little girl, so I always blackmail her with that at school, because I'm threatening her that I'm going to play it at her high school now that she goes to Glen Oak, so I'm going
to. So she'll do anything that you say just to avoid having that being played, right?
Friends. I'm going to walk in there one day with a big radio playing her, singing her. But that, that's probably what I remember the most from that is that. I just don't remember the show at all.
And then later on down the road, almost.
I mean, Joe, you have to remember, I played at Ron's Crossroads 8 million times throughout my life, So it's not like picking that one show you did at Flashes You know what I mean? It's like, throughout all my history, Ron's was the place that I played the most.
That was the place to go to see the best bands back in the day.
It was, yeah.
So that show that we recorded with Winter's Bane back in, I believe, 92, was released almost 10 years later after you had joined Priest.
It was. Century Media picked it up. And or decided to re-release Heart of a Killer with a shabby CD cover that they redid that didn't look nearly as good as the first one, and put a bonus live songs and some bonus demo stuff from Winter's Bane. So
that's still available, I believe, isn't it?
I think, but it they didn't really push it. They kind of stopped and didn't really. It is out there, though. I think you can go online and find it.
Probably on Amazon or something like that.
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, it's out there. It's a neat package, and it's a neat thing just because of the rare live concert that's not overproduced or not, like I said earlier, overdubbed and stuff. It's just a nice DAT tape, I think, or whatever we even did.
We mixed it down right onto DAT as it was being performed.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't the super high, it's just run, it's nice, that
really showcases your vocals too, man. I mean, your vocals are right up there in front.
Yeah, it's good, it sounds good. I haven't listened to it in a long time. I haven't listened to Winter's Bane in a long time, so.
Well, let's change that and listen to a tune right now. We'll get into Heart of a Killer, recorded at Ron's Crossroads, available on the reissue of Winter's Bane's Heart of a Killer. It's the title track, Heart of a Killer, live right here on Local Licks, Canton's Rock Station, Rock 107. Let's see where I'm at here. Okay. Canton's Rock Station, Rock 107. My name's Joe Kleon. The show is Local Licks. We're joined in the studio tonight by Tim Ripper Owens. We just heard a track from Winter's Bane, recorded back in the early 90s at Ron's Crossroads, a tune called Heart of a Killer.
And that I was only 16 then.
You were only...
I was 12. And it was a 92. You said I was 12 years old.
Wow.
And my daughter, she was... oh, no.
You were older than 16 then, weren't you?
Yeah. I was older than 16.
I remember going into...
I graduated from high school. I'm not even... Okay, never mind. Just go on. I'm not even... What am I doing?
You don't want to date yourself? Jeez. Come on now.
People know I'm old.
I do remember going to the Temple Tavern when I was 16 and drinking, though. Seeing U.S. Metal.
Yeah. You know, they were my first...
Before the government closed the place down.
That was a good place, though. I never knew what was going on there, so I was naive. Everybody says you didn't. I didn't. You know what? Those owners treated bands really well. They were really nice. So they had a little side business going on there, I guess. So
got to pay the bills somehow.
No wonder everybody was so happy.
Exactly. That was the one thing, you walk in that place, just the happy vibe would knock you over.
Yeah.
So when you were doing the Winter's Bane thing, you were also doing the British Steel tribute band. And the story goes that a video of the Priest tribute actually made its way to the band. And that led to you getting the gig in Priest, correct?
It did, yep. It's really an amazing story and luck, that's the thing about it, that you could have luck. I mean, I was never a guy that was going to move to LA or move to New York or move anywhere to get noticed, but here, if you're good enough, you're going to get noticed. but it just takes that lucky break, and that's exactly what happened, and you know, quite lucky.
Was there any pressure after you joined Priest to relocate?
No, none at all. I mean, I still live on the same street, still to this day, that I always have lived on. And my wife said if we live there any longer, she's going to kill me. So we've got to move shortly here. But, you know, I'm a home person. My family and my friends, you know, that they all mean a lot to me. So there's really no need to move. If I would move to Florida, you know, give me some of that heat. And
so what was your first contact with Priest after they saw that video? How did they contact you to give you an audition for the band?
Their management called me. And asked if I could do it, and then they asked if I had a passport, and they said, well, let me talk to them, see if we want, you know, when we're, things are going to happen. And they called me right back and said, listen, we're going to get you here tomorrow or something like that. You know, I'm like, wow. Or, you know, so I'm trying to go to sleep that night. And I was in the band Seattle at that time with Dan Johnson and Steve Trent and all the guys. Tim Simmelsberger on drums and John Weiler on bass at that and so oh no, that was Brain Aside. That's really dating me. I just gave you the list of Brain Aside. That was back in the '80s. Dan Johnson was in Seattle and Doug Kleiner. I don't think they're playing anymore. Dan Gable and look, I can remember my band members' names. I can't remember the band members I'm in now.
Can't remember what you had for lunch yesterday, but you remember those band members' names.
Joel Eichelberger on drums, who's getting married, by the way. But anyways, so I'm doing a show with these guys, and I go home and I'm in just floored, you know. So the next day, I'm trying to get my sleep. 10 o'clock at night, phone rings. It's Scott Travis, a drummer, on the line. He's going, hey. Everybody's wondering here whether that's your real voice on the CD or the video. They're thinking it's dubbed in. Uh-huh. And this show is recorded at Sherlock's in Erie, PA.
Wasn't it just like a grainy audience type of video?
Yeah, and it was the next to last show before I quit the band. And my last show was at the Odeon.
And they thought you dubbed your vocals in, huh?
They thought it was dubbed in somehow. And I hear these English accents in the background. And I was amazed, man. I'm like, oh my God, that's Judas Priest in the background. I can hear him, you know. So, and it was like 3 a.m. there. I think they were drinking, they had some wine in them, a few bottles of wine, and they told Scott to call me. So, that was my first. I was amazed, cause then I couldn't sleep. I finally got to sleep, you know, and then I couldn't sleep. And you know, just them doing that, you know. So it was a grainy old videotape that got me there.
So within a couple of days, then you were on a plane.
I was on a plane, man, driven to Wales to a studio where Black Sabbath recorded and meet them and walk right in and sing Victim of Changes, and as the story goes, and one line of the song, and I got the gig. So
they hired you right there on the spot, huh?
They did, you know. They hired me a lot better than they fired me. No, I'm joking, man. I just like to say that because people think that, you know.
What would you say your favorite tune is that you recorded with Priest?
Bloodstained.
Let's hear it right now. Judas Priest with Ripper Owens right here on Local Licks, Canton's Rock Station, Rock 107. Canton's Rock Station, Rock 107. My name's Joe Klee. On the show is Local Licks, 2 hours of homegrown rock and roll. We're joined in the studio tonight by Tim Ripper Owens. Just heard Bloodstained from Judas Priest. Another tune from Priest that just one of my all-time favorites is Cathedral Spires.
Oh, there's no doubt. People always expect me to probably say that, Cathedral Spires. Mm-hmm. But it is one of mine, but Bloodstained is just everything that it, you know, it's got every vocal style in it. It's just chugging straight ahead forward, a political type song, and it's just vocally though, it's got everything in it. High notes, low notes, heavy, mellow. It's got a slow section, so it's full, but Cathedral is one that people want to hear live, and it would be really hard to redo live, I think, as good as it is on the record.
Let's hear this tune right now. The band.
Oh, I knew it.
You knew it was coming. Tim's new project is Beyond Fear. They'll be performing this Thursday at the Odeon, part of the Brave Words and Bloody Knuckles 6-pack weekend. We'll take you back to the days of Priest right now. Just a phenomenal tune. This one is Cathedral Spires, right here on Local Licks, Canton's Rock Station, Rock 107. Canton's Rock Station, Rock 107. Judas Priest here on Local Licks, Cathedral Spires. We're joined in the studio by Tim Ripper Owens. Tim's new project, Beyond Fear, will be doing their debut performance this Thursday at the Odeon. We're going to give away some more tickets later on in the show. What a great tune from Priest, man. Now, during the writing process, would they pretty much present you with completed lyrics and already have the music written, and you would basically just go in and lay it down, or how'd
that
work?
Yeah, Glenn would put like some dummy tracks down and stuff, and you know, I would go in and you know, obviously they didn't sound nothing like what I really did. It would just be some idea of the melody, and we would put it. But you know, they let me put my own ideas down, and you know, and let me still be creative. Not as much as I would like, and there was probably times where I could have got some credit for changing things that I didn't. But you know, it was there and done, and really, I think it wasn't a lot different than how they do it now. I mean, I think sometimes they, you know, I mean, you got to remember some of the best songs that Priest has written, you know, like The Ripper, Glenn wrote it.
Right.
There's a lot of material that are classic songs that, you know, so I think they still do it, but Rob is the lyricist and doesn't write all the melodies, I don't think. But
was your experience with Priest a lot different than you expected?
Well, I probably expected to live in a lot bigger house when you join something like that, you know. But the problem is I didn't join him in the 80s, or I probably would have had a lot bigger house. You know, I joined him where they weren't together for 7 years, and even when they stopped on that Painkiller tour, they weren't really tearing up the world, you know. I mean, the venues were smaller. But I expected more of that, but I really struck a friendship with the guys far beyond what I ever thought I would have. I mean, we were and are really good friends. You know, now I think that's the thing that I'll cherish. I had some of the best times on tour and being and recording Demolition, staying with Glenn. We just had a lot of good times. You know, it was like just being around one of your good buds. You know, and that's something that I didn't expect either. So I guess it's both ends of the stick. You know, you have one end thinking you're going to make more money. I think I learned a lot about the business that it's a lot harder to make money because you have to spend a lot of it, you know, and I think that's the one end. But on the other end, I struck friendships up with people who I always looked up to.
Did you feel a lot of pressure?
I didn't feel pressure. You know what? I didn't, because I wasn't allowed to write the material, so I can't feel any pressure if somebody doesn't like the records as much, you know.
What about live?
I didn't, because I knew live I could sing as good as anybody. It could have sang that material. I'll tell you, I didn't feel it because I was prepared, as prepared as I could be. And I knew when I went up on the stage that those songs were going to be sung like they're supposed to be sung. And, you know, I don't like when people don't sing songs live like they're supposed to be sung.
It's yeah, that bothers me too.
And I hear it a lot, you know. And I'm somebody that you better sing the songs like they're supposed to be sung and better.
Were there any parts of the world where the reception by the fans wasn't as good as you had hoped?
No, but you know, the funny thing about being on the road and some of the stories is that I remember, even towards the end, still, people who didn't want to accept me. I remember, I think it was somewhere, it might have been New Orleans, where a guy would stand in front of the crowd and he would flip me off. And I remember him from one other time, and then I went back again. But the funny thing is, this guy's hit the shows. So it's still funny, because I'm thinking, you know, first time he had a bunch of buddies with him, next time, like, 4 years later, there he is again. But I remember I had him this next time singing with me by the end, because he's never heard some of the things that I would do with Judas Priest. And I'll tell you, not saying bad things, but he's never going to hear it like that again. He's never going to hear the Victim of Changes note at the end that long. He's not going to hear Diamonds and Rust, the acoustic version, sang like that. He's not going to hear some of those things. And I think I would win him over with some of it, you know. And it was funny because he was pissed, didn't like me, flipped me off. And by the end, he's, you know, and I kept looking at him, trying to get him to sing, you know. And he's his fingers getting closer and bigger, you know, as I'm doing that. But you know, it was always a good reception. I had a lot of signs. people brought for me that they would throw up on stage, I had always the big chance of Ripper, Ripper, Ripper. So it was a good experience, you know. I think it was that the stage was awesome every night.
Did you have much pre-production before you recorded Jugulator, or did you just basically jump right in the studio and start recording?
We didn't have any pre-production even of Demolition. I mean, both albums were kind of recorded as we went along. Jugulator was the same way. I kind of went in and just started singing, you know. It was hard. It was long hours. It was, you know, at least 10 hours a day of just singing until your throat felt like it was going to just explode. I could hardly talk every day. Then you'd go back and go to sleep in a hotel, get up in the morning, do it again for a month straight. And, you know, it was just wear and tear on the voice, but it was... It was still fun to look back. Demolition, I enjoyed recording much more. And vocally, as a vocal record, I think it was a much better vocal record because there was a lot more melodies in it.
What do you think contributed to the difference between the recording of both those records that made Demolition more enjoyable for you?
Well, staying at Glenn's house and getting up and not being on the time schedule as much and watching the news. And, you know, we would record from about 10, 11 till, you know, 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock at night, you know, maybe if it was 8 o'clock, you know, go in, take a shower, and we'd go up the road. We lived out in the country, you know, we'd go up to the road and go to this pub, Crown and Sandy's. It was a restaurant, real nice, fancy, like restaurant pub, and total English thing, and have a nice dinner and a couple pints of beer, and, you know, head back every night. And it was really enjoyable. He had some dogs, and we'd walk with the dog. You know, it was just it was a fun time. Glenn and I had a good bond, you know, so it was, I enjoyed it a lot. But the days in the studio were frustrating, and I punched many walls, and I could have strangled him, you know, but that's just the studio.
Did you record both those records in the same studio?
No, Jugulator recorded, man, I can't remember the name of the studio, but... It was almost like boot camp, really. It was you take this road, dirt road down. It was real bumpy, and we'd get there, and there was nothing around. And we stayed in Scott and I stayed in a town called Guildford, and it was a process.
How long would you say you spent recording for each of those records?
Months, vocally, months. I mean, I really did. I mean, it was. Because it wasn't written, it wasn't like this. I mean, I could go in on my solo record, or on a solo record, on Beyond Fear, and probably get the vocals done in 3 to 5. Well, a good example, Iced Earth, I did the vocals in 5 days. And because it was already recorded with Matt singing it, and I went in and I practiced to it, you know. So I knew what I was doing. And then I rewrote the song Red Baron I wrote on the album. But I had been ready for it. So when I went in, I did it in 5 days. And those vocals on Iced Earth are better than any vocals I did with Judas Priest. That's just my opinion. They're way more melodic. There's way more substance. There's way more feeling. There's no doubt it's the best vocals I've ever done.
Describe your most memorable Priest experience.
Probably the show in Cleveland the first time with MTV there, with my family out there. It was a great experience, and probably going to the Grammys, being nominated for a Grammy and going to the Grammys.
What about your worst experience with the band?
Man, there really isn't any. I mean, I don't really think there was a worst experience.
Is there any chance you might join him on stage at Blossom this summer for a tune?
No.
No?
No. Well, you know what? No. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm not saying Glenn and Ken and Ian and Scott wouldn't have me do it.
I gotcha.
Okay.
Let's hear another Priest tune before we take a break. Take it back to live in London. Did you do any vocal work on this in the studio, or is this all live?
No, this is live, raw, and nothing done.
Another one of my favorites from the record, Beyond the Realms of Death. Judas Priest live with Ripper Owens right here on Local Licks, Canton's Rock Station, Rock 107.